The Civil War was fought in the United States from 1861 to 1865, the result, of course, of a long-standing controversy over slavery. War broke out in April of 1861 when Confederates attacked Fort Sumter in South Carolina. There were 365,000 dead in that war, 400,000 wounded. And many people have thought over the years, some areas where these horrible battles were fought are still haunted, that people still see ghosts. In a moment, Rich Newman joins us with his work, Ghosts of the Civil War, Exploring the Paranormal History of America's Deadliest War, next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Rich Newman back with us. Rich was on with me a year ago as we talked about his work, Haunted Bridges. Great story. Tonight, Ghosts of the Civil War. Rich is an author, filmmaker, lives in Memphis, Tennessee. He's been a lifelong enthusiast of the paranormal, and in his group, Paranormal Inc., has been involved with research and investigations for at least now more than a decade. Articles have appeared in Haunted Times and Paranormal Underground, and welcome back to Coast, Rich Newman. Rich, looking forward to this.
Hey, George, how's it going?
All is well. Thank you so much. And by the way, your Haunted Bridges book and the show we did was just fantastic. I'm still getting emails about it.
Fantastic. I loved it.
People are still afraid to go over certain bridges, by the way. So this one here, tell us about the work that you put in to write the book, Ghosts of the Civil War.
Well, this kind of started with me a few years ago. I actually shot a documentary called Ghosts of War, where we traveled to about five different battlefields and about 10 different homes that sort of have a history associated with the Civil War and ghost stories. And we did a lot of interviews and talked to people who had experiences and also try to get as much of the history, of course, as we could into the documentaries. And that just sort of led to, you know, me doing some other ghost books. And then in the back of my mind, kind of all these years, I've been thinking, you know, I'd really like to get back to the Civil War. There's just so much there. And when I pitched Llewellyn, they were great. They were like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, the war was our deadliest war. It was just horrible. And there was a time I really thought that people, you know, were going to just destroy the United States. It was going to fall apart, but they pulled it back together. And, of course, the ills of what was going on then are still being felt today. But I get stories all the time, Rich, from people who call about Gettysburg and other locations that really seem to have ghostly apparitions there. Are you finding that to be the case, too?
Absolutely. I would say particularly Gettysburg. It's just almost a mecca for ghost hunters. And the paranormal stories that come out of there on a month-to-month basis are just staggering. It does seem that all of these major battlefields in particular have so much activity going on that, I mean, it's not just ghost hunters. I mean, it's people who even profess to not have any belief in ghosts whatsoever, and the next thing you know, they're walking over a hill with their little Canon camera in their hand and snapping photos, and there is what looks like a phantom army standing there at the tree line looking at them. Or they suddenly start hearing the sounds of cannon fire and guns firing around them, you know, with obviously no battle or anything going on. So, yeah, I mean, the stories coming out of these places are just almost just a daily activity.
Do you find that when someone dies tragically that they are more apt to end up being a ghost than somebody who dies in a natural way?
You know, I mean, it does seem like that's the case. So many times it does seem like there seems to be a combination between emotional traumatic events that are happening, but also they seem to also happen in certain places where the environment just seems conducive to sort of storing the energy of that moment, which kind of gives us two or three different versions of ghosts, so to speak, you know, depending on the exact situation and the exact way that the spirit seems to interact with those who run into it.
How did you go about researching this book?
Man, it wasn't easy.
Oh, really? How come?
Oh, it's just the Civil War is just so big. It's, you know, we have hundreds of national sites and state, you know, locally state operated sites dedicated to the Civil War. So rounding up as many of these stories and talking to people at all these different sites and visiting as many as I could was quite a delightful chore. I mean, I had a great time researching it and writing it and going to all these different places and learning so much about American history in the process. On top of the paranormal things, it was a lot of work, but a lot of fun.
Specifically, Rich, what specific areas did you go to that you think, other than Gettysburg, that have the most haunted areas?
Well, it's interesting. If you actually look at the top 10 deadliest battlefields list, those 10 battlefields actually make up a chapter in my book that I talk about battlefields, because they have the most activity. For me, the closest spot would be Shiloh. And I grew up, you know, hearing stories about Shiloh and the ghosts at Shiloh. Particularly, if you go and talk to any of the park rangers there, or even just some of the locals, they're pretty quick to tell you about the ghost of a young boy that was a drummer.
Yeah.
During the Battle of Shiloh. There have been sightings of an apparition of a nurse next to a spot there called Bloody Pond, where they actually made sort of a makeshift field hospital, and hundreds had legs and arms amputated there, died from wounds. So many stories come out of these places. For me, Shiloh was sort of the beginning of all of it, but I've definitely heard great stories out of all of the major battlefields, Gettysburg, Chickamauga, Antietam, you name them. They have their own versions of these stories, and they're all very fascinating.
Is every place that has an apparition considered a haunted place? To me, haunted has like a scary connotation.
I think it comes in the, it's a situational thing. For sure, if they're seeing an apparition, I would probably call that haunted. But there does seem to be a great divide between what we sort of think of as scary ghosts, that would come to us and speak to us and interact with us. In the paranormal field, of course, we kind of call that an intelligent spirit, because it seems to be, responding to us or approaching us and that sort of thing. But it does also, there's a huge, another sort of type of ghost that we think of as being residual, which more ends up being just sort of a moment in time captured in the environment that replays for certain people. Not everyone sees it. That's the part that's kind of hard to understand, whether it's the person that, if it's like I can see it, but this person cannot, or is it more of an environmental thing where just if everything is just happening just right, that residual ghost appears. And these type of ghosts actually seem more to be just locked in that moment of time, repeating something that happened, and they're oblivious to us.
Do people, Rich, tend to go to these locations because they're haunted? Tourists, for example?
Absolutely. I mean, I hate to coin the phrase haunted tourism, but, it's out there. I mean, a lot of these sites are well aware of it and even market it. Absolutely. There's a lot of people that go to the Civil War sites for the history, of course. But especially places like Gettysburg that have such a notorious reputation for having so many haunted spots there and around it. You go to Gettysburg, not only can you take, a ghost tour of all the spots on the battlefield, but, you can stay in any one of five or six different haunted inns, that were all historic homes that were there during the battle. And stay in a different one each night, and each of them have their own ghost stories. You can go visit the haunted museum, for something to do in the afternoon. Go and have a beer at the haunted tavern. I mean, you could have an entire haunted vacation, just around the battlefield of Gettysburg. And this sort of tourism has really blown up.
What is it about these things, Rich, that people like to get scared?
I think for some of them, it's thrill-seeking. For others, I think it's wanting to just understand it. I know for me, one of the draws for ghosts and ghost stories has always been, just understanding this process of the human soul, what makes some of us stick around and some of us not. And, You know, is there some sort of scientific explanation for how the soul works with our body, and is this just part of the natural process of dying? And if so, can we explain that? Can we figure that out in some way? And I think, you know, a lot of people are just fascinated with the idea of death, the afterlife, and you're right. Some people just like to be scared.
Yeah, they do. What would you say that these apparitions are? Why are they there?
I think it's probably 20% the soul of a person that's stuck around for their own reasons. They didn't have closure. As you mentioned before, they died in a horrible moment, and they're trapped in that moment, and they're looking for release. And I think 80% of it is just energy that was just so strong. I mean, the emotion, the death, everything that happened around the Civil War is just so powerful that there's just so many of those people that it left behind such a strong energy that it's just there for those who can feel it and see it.
And we're talking about a number of ghosts in any particular place, right? Not just one?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's, you know, like take Gettysburg, for instance. I mean, there's people who say that they, you know, are standing there in an empty field snapping photos, and then they look up, and there's an entire Phantom Army standing in front of them.
Jeez. Now, are these entities, do they know they're dead?
Well, I mean, in the case of the residual type ghosts, no. And in fact, they don't even notice the people who are watching them or taking photos.
They're doing their thing.
Oh, just absolutely. They're just locked in that moment of time. But there are those spirits that you run into that do seem to be aware of the people that are around them, and that they don't, you know, belong there, that, you know, time has moved on. And those seem to be sort of the saddest stories.
Why haven't they moved on, Rich?
Well, that's the grand question. I wish I had an answer for that. I mean, I don't know if the missing ingredient is just perhaps resolution. I mean, that seems to be the best guess from investigators. But, I mean, the reality is, I mean, it's a mystery as much to me as anyone. It's sad. It does seem that the majority of the spirits that are intelligent and that they seem to be reacting with people are not in a pleasant place. They died in horrible situations and horrible circumstances, and they're not happy, and they probably would like to move on.
Give us a few stories, Rich, if you could, on hauntings or these ghosts in Gettysburg or other areas.
Well, there's a pretty famous one involving Gettysburg, involving three spies who were captured. Union spies were actually captured looking out after the Confederate Army that was, you know, gathering up in Gettysburg. And in the process, they were captured and taken out to Saks-covered bridge. And I think we even mentioned this bridge just briefly a year ago. And they hung these three guys from the bridge. And people see spirits hanging there. They've walked through the bridge and felt something brush up against them, almost like the body's still hanging from the rafters. They've heard cries and moans of people in misery. They've heard gunshots around the bridge. And this is one of these cases where, for some people, it seems like a residual activity, you know, where they're just hanging from the bridge like they would have been, you know, in the 1800s. But then for others, they actually say one of them will be standing in the bridge looking at them and almost watching them. Or some people have claimed that they've actually even been touched by one of these spirits. And there's just so many of these stories involving, you know, apparitions touching people, speaking to them. Cold spots that seem to come over them, which may even suggest that perhaps they're, you know, trying to embrace them or touch them in some way. There's just so many of these stories.
Any cases of these apparitions trying to hurt somebody?
No, but I do believe that a lot of people, you know, interpret this as happening sometimes. What I always tell people is the difference between, you know, like you were mentioning, you know, are some scary or not. If you're alone in a, you know, a circa 1850s house at night, and then you walk into a room and the door all of a sudden slams behind you really hard, for some, you know, everyone's going to jump and be, you know, initially startled. Some people would just think, oh, well, that ghost is trying to get my attention. If, you know, it just wants to let me know it's here. In which case, that's not really a scary circumstance. But, you know, the person standing right next to them would be like, that ghost is slamming that door because it's angry. It wants us out of here. And so many times, you know, we really don't know the intention behind some of the ghostly acts. And some people react negatively, and some are able to just sort of hold it together and not be so freaked out.
Would you say that the Civil War may be the single most haunted area or event that's out there?
Absolutely. I mean, we had
hands down, hands down,
120,000 deaths in this war.
Yeah, on both sides.
Right, on both sides. And I mean, the next closest war is World War II, which had a little over 405,000. I mean, just to put that in perspective. I mean, there's so many people who died during this war. And one of the things I always like to mention talking about these deaths is people also kind of forget 2/3 of those deaths were not instantaneous battlefield things. They were people who died slowly of
disease.
Yeah,
they were casualties and things. Yeah.
Starvation, in prisons, lying in hospital beds, in misery. And that stuff sticks around.
Sometimes I'm wondering if it were better just to go quickly if you're in that kind of battle, rather than
that
prolonged, you know, horrible. And they didn't have the kind of medical care we have today.
If you
had an injury to your leg, they didn't try to save it. They sawed it off.
You're right. And the two types of anesthetic then were basically whiskey and chloroform.
Yeah, exactly. Rich Newman with us, his new work, Ghosts of the Civil War. We're going to touch on haunted bridges a little bit later on as well, because that's a story that just will not go away. Over 300 of America's creepiest crossings, so we'll talk about that as well. Rich's website, paranormalincorporated.com, is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. If you were going to take a trip and you were planning it, where would you go to be insured that you could see something paranormal happen?
I would probably go to Gettysburg.
You would?
Because I could spend every single night in one of these haunted inns. I mean, we have, you know, the haunted Cashtown Inn, which is just outside town. You have the Farnsworth House Inn. You have Jenny Wade House, which I believe is actually a museum now. There's a Gettysburg Hotel. So, I mean, you have so many different places that you could just stay at to have a great chance right there. And then, of course, you've got all the spots on the battlefield. You've got a couple museums that were around at the time that have their own ghost stories, including the Children's Orphanage. I would definitely make Gettysburg my destination.
Were there any prominent or well-known people at the time, Rich, that passed on and continue to come back as ghosts?
Oh, yes. Well, I mean, and during the Civil War especially, I mean, probably the most famous associated with the Civil War would be Abraham Lincoln. There are so many stories about Abraham Lincoln's ghost from so many credible witnesses, actually.
Haunting the White House, doesn't he?
Mostly in the White House. An interesting thing is his ghost seems to travel.
Really? He pops up in different places?
At least two others. He's actually popped up in a house in, I think it's Ludenstown, New York, and it was a lady who was actually at Ford's Theater when he was assassinated, and then she said she returned home and a few days later saw his ghost standing in her house and would periodically pop up from time to time.
That's weird. Let's talk more about that, Rich, when we come back, along with haunted bridges on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, and our dear friend Rich Newman with us. We're going to talk about haunted bridges in a second. We've been talking about his latest work, Ghosts of the Civil War. Got to find out where Abraham Lincoln pops up every once in a while. And welcome back, Rich Newman with us. Rich, let's get back into this Abraham Lincoln story. This is fascinating. So he seems to pop up all over the place, including at a house of a woman who was at the Ford Theater when he got assassinated.
That's true. She said that not long after the assassination took place, she was at home one night, and she just happened to get up and walk into the next room, and there was Lincoln standing in the middle of her living room. much to her amazement, which, you know, frightened her. She ran out of the house, came back, looked in, and he was gone. And that this happened several times over the next couple years. He's also popped up at his tomb in Springfield, Illinois. People have seen him standing beside the tomb, staring, you know, sorrowfully.
Interesting.
Presumably the tomb of his wife.
Can these apparitions show up in different places at the same time?
Well, that's a good question. I wouldn't see why not. It seems
really?
Like, you know, there's some questions about these apparitions. Like, if a person, okay, let's just say a person dies as you're dressed right now, that ghost may, you know, pop up looking 20 years younger, wearing a whole different set of clothes, which indicates that a ghost can sort of appear however they want to look. So for me, this sort of begs the question, is the ghost that we're seeing really the, you know, the soul of the person that they're trying to look like? I mean, is it really the ghost of Lincoln standing there? Or was there just a ghost in this house? And because of her profound activity, you know, seeing, you know, Lincoln be assassinated, this particular ghost wanted to appear as Lincoln.
If that's conceivable, what's your gut tell you?
My gut tells me that if a ghost can appear as however they want to look, then not every ghost is what they appear to be.
I think you're right. But Gettysburg, of course, you would say most haunted. I don't have my statistics here, Rich. I don't know if you do, but how many people died at Gettysburg?
Oh, wow. I believe, let me see, I had that stat here close to me. I want to say Gettysburg was something in the area of about 90,000.
Gosh. And how big is that region?
Oh, my gosh, not big at all. That's one of the things I think that shocks a lot of people when they go to these battlefields, is because, you know, when someone starts throwing out these numbers, you think, wow, you know, this was a massive battle across all of these acres of land and miles, and they're not. I mean, you go to these little battlefields, and sometimes they're just basically a pasture with these two little tiny stone walls, one on each side, and just tens of thousands of people were lying behind this tiny little wall, just lobbing bullets at each other, you know? And you think, you know, you're standing in the middle of this little, you know, what's probably a cotton field or something now, and you just think tens of thousands of people were lying here dead.
That's unbelievable. Amazing. That is sad. Very sad indeed. They're saying that they think about 3,000 were killed from the United States Army, and that for the Confederates, the Union Army had the 3,100 killed. And the Confederates, they don't know, but they think maybe about the same. But that's still, you know what? That's a lot of people.
That is a lot of people in a very small area.
Yep, absolutely. Sure was. Let's talk also about your work, Haunted Bridges. Is that book still available?
Absolutely. Everywhere.
How did you come around to doing a book on haunted bridges?
This was actually a subject that was pitched to me by my publisher. And
great idea.
Oh, I agree. Especially just because, you know, when you deal in with ghosts and you actually go and investigate so many haunted places, one of the things that you come to quickly understand is that the truth of who dies, what, where, when, and how, and the stories told about the place sometimes intersect, and a lot of times do not. And bridges is just one of those spots that has so much urban legend, old lore, just different types of just interesting ghost stories told about it, that while they don't always have, you know, a lot of fact attached to them, they're always fascinating stories that tend to be kind of on the scary side.
What regions have the most haunted area?
You know, I mean, if you had asked me this last year, I probably would have said, you know, they're everywhere. But honestly, one of the things I'm starting to figure out now, you know, with talking to so many people about the book and the subject, is people in the South really love their ghost stories.
Yeah,
And
they do.
one of the things, you know, you can go to all these towns and, you know, they all have their little old haunted house and they all have their haunted bridges and they have their stories. And, you know, a lot of the Civil War was also fought in the South, so they also have all their stories about that as well. I do think that, like, a lot of our stories in America about these haunted bridges and these different kinds of legends mostly came out of the South.
And what regions did you find to be the most haunted?
Well, I don't know that any region is a lock on most haunted, but I would definitely say a lot of the older, massive bridges that have just had a sheer number of suicides attached to them seem to be the most haunted places, like the Brooklyn Bridge, the Golden Gate Bridge, the Aurora Bridge. I've all seen so many suicides and have so many stories of people running into these poor lost souls that I would have to believe that they're the most truly haunted bridges.
You know, I can only imagine what it's like for someone to stand on a bridge hundreds of feet above the water, contemplating their own demise, and then actually jumping. But that happened a lot and still happens a lot, doesn't it?
Oh, you better believe it. Almost, you know, it's one of those things that the press is loath to even talk about so much because the fear is that it may, you know, bring, you know, that as a location for suicide to light for so many other depressed people, and they may follow suit. It's also amazing, George, how many people make that jump and survive.
Really?
And yes. I mean, and most of them don't survive in a very good state. You know,
something happens to them, yeah.
Absolutely. And even they have to live with that decision that, you know, and that failure even at that, because, you know, they may even be incapacitated to even attempt suicide again, and they're trapped to think about that moment, you know, going off that bridge, that moment of despair. And, you know, and you see so many videos too, you know, of people talking people down from the bridges. And there's a really great YouTube video that you could probably pull up with a quick search that's, you know, a person who was going to commit suicide, I believe it was on Brooklyn Bridge, and I may be wrong about that, but just tens of people ran up and was just grabbing this guy and holding him against the rail and telling him, you know, they're not going to let him jump, they're not going to let him do it, and, you know, eventually got him off that bridge.
As opposed to some people, if there's a jumper on top of a building and they're yelling up, jump, 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 that happens too.
Yes, what horrible human beings those are. Yeah, unfortunately, that's absolutely true. And even on the bridges, because, like I say, some of these bridges during their heyday would go through, you know, suicide almost every other week. And, you know, you have people down, say, Golden Gate Bridge, for instance. There's a Golden Gate Bridge park. It's right under the bridge. And so a lot of the times when people would jump off of Golden Gate Bridge, they wouldn't even hit the water. They would actually land in the park.
Jeez, and, unbelievable.
Yeah, people would see this and yell up at them, you know, some, you know, as you say, sort of like, you know, rooting them on to jump. And then, of course, others, you know, wanting nothing of the sort. But it's horrible stuff.
You've still got your podcast going, don't you?
I try to.
How can people hear you?
They can go to iTunes. And if they put in the Paranormal Inc. podcast, they can pull up the whole four whopping episodes that we've managed to get under our belt.
And you're on Facebook?
Absolutely, Paranormal Inc.
And I noticed that your paranormal group, you're based in Memphis where you are, but also in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, not too far from where I am right now.
Oh, wow. You are in Missouri?
I'm in St. Louis right now. Yeah, I came for a couple of weeks. I go back to Los Angeles after my Denver TV shows this weekend. But the Cape Girardeau is where my granddaughter and my son graduated from college at the Southeast Missouri State. And there's a great UFO case in Cape Girardeau, too, of a crashed, retrieved saucer, much like happened before Roswell.
Now, you may not know this, George, but see, I was born and raised in St. Louis, and I actually went to high school in a very small town called Scott City, right beside Cape Girardeau.
How about that?
Yeah, and I actually went to SEMO for 2 years.
That's a small world.
And the UFO story that you're actually talking about, has been discussed many times by me and my fellow paranormal enthusiasts in that area. And if you want to hear an interesting story about that, my eighth grade teacher was a gentleman by the name of Kenneth Aldrich. And he was actually assigned as a local investigator, meaning locally in Missouri, for Project Blue Book.
Wow.
Back in the 60s. And his co-worker was an instructor who was at SEMO by the name of Dr. Rutledge. Well, Drs. Aldrich and Rutledge would investigate all these different UFO sightings and incidents, one of the most famous being at the Piedmont Dam in Missouri that had ongoing sightings of UFOs stretching out over months, so much so that it became a popular place for people to go on the weekends hoping to see these UFOs that would come down, fly around the dam, and then take off again. And I do believe Kenneth actually, Mr. Aldrich, spoke to the priest who reputedly was called out to the site of the UFO crash and performed a blessing over the bodies of presumably several aliens.
Now, there was also, and I think his name was Harley Rutledge.
That's right.
He was into this in a big way. That's the same guy, right?
Same guy. Harvey Rutledge and Kenneth Aldrich were both involved with loosely with Project Blue Book.
Harvey died 11 years ago.
That's correct. Uh-huh.
Day after my birthday, 11 years ago. But he was great. We need more people.
Fantastic.
We need more people like that. Are we getting?
Oh, you bet.
Are we getting those kinds of researchers? Are they replacing these folks who have passed on?
You know, I still see people who are passionate about the paranormal, particularly with ghost hauntings and also with ufology. You know, you're probably more aware of this than I am, but there's been so much sort of infighting in the ufology community.
In that community. You know, in the Bigfoot community is the same way, too.
Oh, that I'm less aware of, but I absolutely believe that's probably true. MUFON seems to be sort of a polarizing organization right now amongst researchers, at least from what I hear. But I do think that there are definitely still passionate people with ufology, cryptozoology, and, you know, with studying spirits and ghosts and hauntings.
Absolutely. Well, back to the bridges for just a second. Is there one great story you can relay to us before the break?
Sure. I'll talk about my favorite bridge of all. It's the Creek Road Bridge just outside Ojai, California.
Creek Road
Bridge. And the reason
bridge,
right? I like this bridge so much is because no one really knows about it.
Is it old and wooden, or what is it?
It is a nondescript, plain piece of highway going over Creek Road with just some rails on the side, metal rails.
So cars do go over it, right?
Oh, absolutely, every day, constantly. But that particular spot has so many different paranormal stories attached to it. Everything ranging from a mysterious figure they call the Charman, who's appeared on the road to various people as a hitchhiker, scared them out of their wits, and they end up just taking off, getting away from this, what looks like just almost like a burnt, demonic-looking thing. So much so, the reputation of the Charman is quite prevalent in that area of California. You also have what was a tomb that was discovered in the woods that many claim actually had, believe it or not, a vampire attached to it.
Whoa.
And they claim that they see the Ojai vampire in the woods around that area of Camp Creek. Comfort Creek Park. And on top of all this, then you have ghost stories of seeing apparitions walking across the bridge, people who have approached cars looking like hitchhikers and either A, turn into the Charman, or B, just disappear before they get into the vehicle. Just so many different interesting pieces of folklore stories and sightings around this bridge.
And does this happen often where you get these kinds of stories and reports?
I would say that they happen regularly enough that they maintain, you know, our fascination in these bridges. I don't think that these sightings are like are daily or even weekly sort of activity, but maybe monthly. Just enough that, you know, when you think it's about to get out of the news or people are going to stop talking about it, bam, here's another person, you know, scared out of their wits, saying they saw the burnt guy standing on the side of you know, Creek Road. So it's enough to keep me fascinated in the subject.
What about the collapse of the Point Pleasant Silver Bridge near West Virginia, where they had Mothman sightings? Did you ever investigate that?
I did not. I haven't investigated it, but I have been there.
1967, it went down.
Right, the Silver Bridge. Yeah, they have quite an interesting statue and monument to the Mothman close to the new bridge that now crosses.
46 there. People died. I wonder if that's one of the haunted ones. Is that in your book?
It is in the book, because not only because of, yes, they do see actual what they think are the souls of people who died in that collapse, but there's also still different other paranormal activity that happens around that particular bridge. Some of those stories date back to Native American times when they actually claim a man by the name of Chief Cornstalk actually was killed by a group of people there in Point Pleasant, and he cursed that area. And so many people believe that a lot of these things, like the ghosts who are cursed to linger, the collapse of that bridge, the sightings of Mothman, which is a mysterious creature in itself, all go back to this curse that came from Chief Cornstalk, you know, hundreds of years ago.
Interesting take. That bridge tragedy, Rich, was just one of the worst in American history. We're going to come back in a moment and take phone calls with Rich Newman. And, of course, you can talk about ghosts of the Civil War. And if you know of other haunted bridges, check in with us and tell us those stories as well. All that and much more just ahead on Coast to Coast AM.